Views, information, or opinions contained in podcasts do not necessarily represent the opinions, standards, or policies of DRWF. The inclusion of details about products or services does not indicate DRWF endorsement of them. The aim of podcasts is to educate and inform, and we endeavour to ensure that the information provided in them is accurate. It's not a substitute for medical or health advice from a healthcare professional who's aware of the facts and circumstances of your individual situation. We always recommend that advice be sought from your GP or diabetes nurse before making any changes to medication or before using any products or services referenced by DRWF. Neither DRWF nor any of its employees or owners shall be held liable or responsible for the accuracy or completeness, for any errors or omissions in podcasts, or for any damage you may suffer as a result of failing to seek competent medical or health advice from a professional who is familiar with your situation.
Hello and welcome to the latest podcast in our series, Living with Diabetes, brought to you by Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. I'm Claire Levy, and in this edition, we have the first in a two-part look at Dexcom's latest research project. These succinct instalments will assess the statistical analysis of the growth of diabetes, the impact of continuous glucose monitors, CGMs, and what this means for future health policy and the greater availability of CGMs in managing type 2 diabetes. To discover more, I've been talking to Dexcom's Senior Director for International Access, who's been closely involved with their latest State of Type 2 report, which reveals it's not only on the rise in the UK, but also across Europe, the Middle East, and North Africa.
So my name is Adrian Goot. I am at Dexcom for the last 4 years, and my role is I'm the head of international access, advocacy, and value.
And you've just launched this report. Can you just give us the title to the report?
Yes, the report is called The State of Type 2.
And what's it sort of looking at in some detail?
So what we did is we interviewed we commissioned a company to interview almost 2,000 people with type 2 diabetes and their healthcare professionals. So it's north of 650 healthcare professionals were interviewed. And they were mostly in the primary care sector. So only about 25% of them were actually specialists, meaning diabetologists, endocrinologists, and diabetes educators. So the majority were in the primary care segment, which, you know, across the European healthcare systems are typically the people that treat type 2 diabetes by and large.
And they were from many countries, weren't they?
Yeah, that's right. So the countries were Saudi Arabia, and then we had Spain, Italy, UK, Germany. Did I say the Netherlands?
No, you didn't. But
And Italy, sorry.
Fabulous. So a really wide-ranging report.
We were looking at basically for people to share their experience, their opinions about the treatment of type 2 diabetes today, about access to technologies, barriers related to technologies. And then also there was a small cohort which has used CGM. So they specifically shared their experience, how it was, you know, what were they expecting out of it as far as clinical outcomes, quality of life, well-being in general. And then how actually being on a CGM met this expectation.
And have you got some numbers for us about people living with diabetes across Europe, Middle East, North Africa? And what proportion do have type 2 diabetes?
Yeah, so I can give you very broadly, in general, if you look at the total diabetes population across the board, it's typically less than 10% have type 1 diabetes. So type 2 diabetes is by far larger in numbers of incidence and prevalence. And IDF estimates that the total number of people with diabetes today in Europe is roughly around 60 million. And they expect this to grow, I think, over the course of the next 10 years to more than 70 million people. So it's a massive healthcare issue, of course.
The report goes on to reveal that 53% of healthcare practitioners in the UK think better access to CGM will most positively help patients with type 2 to better manage their condition within the next 10 years. 43% of doctors in the UK and 36% in Europe, Middle East and Africa see a lack of patient access to CGMs as a key issue when caring for patients. A similar proportion said they believe providing additional funding or budget for CGMs is needed to increase their use amongst type 2 patients. So I asked Adrian how CGMs can help in type 2.
CGM is actually a technology that is extremely well studied and well published. So, you know, if you go on any of the research portals and you look for benefits of continuous glucose monitoring, you will see it has been studied extremely well, not just in Europe, but across the globe. And the results basically repeatedly show the same thing. Most importantly, it is reducing the average blood sugar level, which is measured by HbA1c. And so bringing the average blood sugar levels down, and CGM has shown it in every population group you're looking at, whether it's type 2 or type 1, irregardless of the treatment regimen they are on, the result is always the same. These people show significant reductions in HbA1c, so average blood sugar levels, which means, and this is well understood too, if you have lower average blood sugar levels, meaning better control, you reduce the risk of long-term complications. Long-term complications include cardiovascular issues, renal issues, problems with the eyesight, etc. So this is extremely well studied. Then also on the more personal side and for the well-being shorter term of the patient, the quality of life is better by having access to continuous glucose data. And again, more on the shorter term, CGM over and over again has shown to keep people out of emergency rooms, to keep them on the job. So they have fewer sick days. They are more productive in their life, more productive in their studies, depending on how old a person is. So really over and over, short and long-term benefits have been clearly demonstrated, and not just in Europe.
And how does that then help the healthcare professionals in their job?
First of all, as a healthcare professional, your first objective is that your patients are doing well and that you can help them. And CGM is a tool that really enables the healthcare professionals to better help their patients. Diabetes is often referred to as a data disease, because glucose levels constantly fluctuate. There is data about insulin intake, about medication intake, about sleep, activity, etc. So it's really, as somebody interested in diabetes, you have to deal with data. CGM is giving that data to the healthcare professional, which means they can better understand what the problem may be and how to help these patients, how to make recommendations. On the other hand, for a person with diabetes to have these insights and to actually understand, for example, how different types of food are influencing their glucose levels, how stress may be influencing their glucose levels, how taking more or less insulin, what's happening. It's a fantastic tool to learn more how the body reacts. And what's also absolutely important is that a CGM can prevent a crisis, because CGM systems provide alarms. So before the blood sugar goes too high or too low, the person is alerted and can do something. Depending on the treatment they are on, they could, for example, take an insulin injection, or maybe they go for a walk if the blood sugar is too high. So it's really on both ends, for the person who is using it and for the healthcare provider, it's all that data that is helping to manage diabetes better and providing an input to make sure there is no crisis with a low blood sugar. Maybe a last point I want to make. I've only been speaking about the person with diabetes and how it helps them. If you think about, or the way we talk about it in the company too, is we're not just helping that one person to manage their blood sugar better, but usually every person is surrounded by maybe on average about 3 to 4 people, loved ones, family members, boyfriends, girlfriends, you name it, who are also to some degree living with diabetes. And having a CGM, for example, as a young parent with a small child with type 1 diabetes, that safety that, you know, I can actually sleep. I have my phone next to the bedside table, which is connected to the CGM. In case there is ever something happening, I actually get an alert and I can go and manage the situation. If you compare that to a time before CGM, young parents were really under a huge amount of stress and often getting up in the middle of the night, taking the blood sugar, checking if everything was fine. So we're not only helping the individual with diabetes, but everybody around them as well.
DRWF, staying well until a cure is found.
You're listening to Living with Diabetes, the DRWF podcast. We'll continue our conversation with Adrian Goot from Dexcom in our next episode. We'll delve deeper into the findings and discover how the research will use its findings to inform policymakers and practitioners in the benefits of CGMs in managing type 2. I hope you found this helpful and of interest. I think a lot of the advice we heard will be useful for everyone living with diabetes. There's also lots of other guidance and details on how to support the charity, together with the latest fundraising events, news and information on our website at drwf.org.uk. This is Claire Levy from Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. Our thanks to Adrian Goot from Dexcom for talking to us, and also to you for listening to this latest edition of Living with Diabetes.
Living with Diabetes is a Blue Aurora media production for DRWF. Copyright 2025. Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. All rights reserved.